the sword of the Spirit and the anointing of God.
Welcome to the Faith Center Audio Experience Podcast. We are excited to have you listen with us today. We pray this podcast encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Welcome, Faith Center Church, members and friends. The order of services are: all in-person services have been canceled until further notice. Sunday morning worship is at 10 a.m., streaming live on our website, faithcenterchurchct.com, also on Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope. On Tuesdays, the FCC Youth Virtual Trivia for all youth and young adults is held on Zoom every Sunday from 12 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. for ages 5 to 12, and from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. for ages 13 to 18. To participate, please sign up via the church website. On Wednesdays, join us for our Word Friday service. Join us for our evening prayer call at 7 p.m. Join us for our church website prayer call at 7 p.m. See the church website for more information. On Saturdays, join us for the men's fellowship call at 9 a.m. via Zoom. See the church website also for more details. Also, on every Saturday, join us for Bible school at 6:55 p.m. to 8 p.m. via conference call. It is our prayer that you continue to join us each week. If you would like to receive the lesson for next week's class, please go to our website and click Contact Us. On August 1st, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., there will be a virtual credit repair seminar via Zoom. Don't let bad credit destroy your dreams. This is a free one-day seminar taught by credit repair specialist Stephanie Lawrence. Learn how to quickly improve your credit score and live your best life. All members and non-members are welcome. To RSVP, please go to church website. Can't make it to service? Take us with you and listen to our various podcast shows. Go to church website and click podcast for more information.
And now for today's word from our Bishop Joseph Norfleet.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The word of the Lord is coming to you today from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 31. Amen. Praise God. We're going to read the word of our God. Once again, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 31. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter, listen to this, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'm going to end there. Pause for a moment. I want to continue teaching and to preach to you this morning from the subject that we actually started from the subject that we actually started on last Sunday, entitled Amazing Deliverance. And so today we want to talk to you from the subject Amazing Deliverance, Part 2. Praise God. I think everyone will agree that there are many things that we all as humans have in common. Good people, bad people, rich or poor people, believers and non-believers in Christ. We all have challenges. From time to time, we all go through some things that we wish would have never happened, and we seek an answer. We seek a resolve. We seek deliverance. There are financial challenges, relationship challenges. We even have issues in our bodies. Our physical health is challenged. Sometimes even our emotional health is challenged. And then there are times that we, even as saints, as the people of God, we all struggle from time to time in making right choices or the right decisions. We pray, we fast, we cry out to the Lord. And sometimes it seems like we're just simply not getting an answer. And so we all have concerns. We all have needs. We all have situations and things that we need deliverance from. In fact, with respect to the text today, there is a need or a great desire for deliverance. I honor the woman of God today, this woman, this Canaanite woman. I honor her because she came to the Lord, and it wasn't just for herself, but it was for her loved one. And as you know, the problem or the concern is not always with ourselves, but that loved one, that coworker, that one that we care about, or someone who's asked us for prayer. And so we go to the Lord that he might intervene and bring healing, bring resolve, bring deliverance. And we understand that Jesus is absolutely the right one. In fact, he's really the only one that we can go to get a resolve that's going to be a blessing to us and to others. Amen. In fact, Jesus says of himself when he was here on earth in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Listen to what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach," watch this, "to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And so you understand that a part of Jesus's purpose was to come that you might be delivered of whatever you're in bondage from. Delivered. The word deliverance specifically in that particular scripture means to be forgiven, or it means to be released from bondage, released from imprisonment, to be released from that thing that has you infirm, that has you captured, which causes you to be hindered in what you really want to do, and even in what God wants you to do. God doesn't want any of his children in bondage. And we all encounter situations or circumstances where we need a healing. We need deliverance. I don't know about you, but there's still yet things that I'm struggling with. Yes, me, the pastor, the bishop. I'm still struggling with them. I'm still in the process. I'm still proceeding. I'm fighting a good fight. But I need deliverance from things. And if I can be honest with you, sometimes I need deliverance from me because of the way I think or feel about a given situation. I know that I need to break free and come out of that old mold and incorrect sometimes way of thinking. But I struggle because I'm accustomed to what I'm accustomed to. We're talking about change. Perhaps there's no one out there that know what I'm talking about. But I don't know about you, but there's some things about me that I want to see change, but I struggle with them. God is a deliverer. And so I want to talk to you, as I said, today from the subject entitled Amazing Deliverance. Everything that God does is always amazing. He defies the odds. He defies what the hearsayers say. He's able. And if I may, I want to have a subtitle today called Stay on Course. That's one thing I really appreciate about this woman in the text today. She stayed on course. She understood what her purpose was. She understood why she was doing what she was doing. And there were many things that came to block her and to stop her, but she stayed on course. I come to tell somebody today, you got to stay on course. There are many things that come to rock your world and to push you off course, to push you off track. There's turbulence. There's this, there's that. But you've got to stay on course. Stay on course. There is an impressively powerful truth that I have actually learned from this particular story. In fact, I taught from this story not too long ago. But it has such meaning, such power, such life-altering truths that I felt compelled to once again deal with this storyline. It's impressive. I am careful to apply to my life whenever there is something that I'm passionate about. I am careful to ensure that I invoke the things that I've learned from the text. And really, that's the purpose of God's word. When we read God's word, when we study God's word, God is talking to us. He's sharing with us divine principles and divine truths that we need to apply to our life. I don't know about you, but I've got to stay on course to get to the place that God wants me to be. Praise the Lord. Anybody else need to stay on course? Let me deal with the text here. This is a story of determination and self-encouragement. I love this. It is to be determined here. To be determined, we must also be continually and consistently encouraged. Now, I'm not trying to use two words that actually mean the same thing when I say continually and consistently. Continually deals with the chronological time that's involved here. We won't go through time. We live in time. And so every single time that you strive to please God, every single time that you strive to be or to get what God has for you, you got to be on course. You got to stay in there. You got to stay in the race. You got to be consistent. You got to be every single time. You got to apply the word of God and his divine principles to your life. And consistently means throughout the entire course, you've got to stay to God's word. You've got to remind yourself to God's word so that you can be encouraged continually. The devil is looking for you to drop your guard just for a moment so that he can jump in to discourage you, to disqualify you. I'm talking to somebody today. I wish you would say to yourself, stay encouraged. You can even add your own name to it. Joseph, stay encouraged. You got to stay encouraged in order to stay on course. This woman stayed encouraged while pursuing what she believed that God has for her. You must stay on course in order to receive what God has for you. Just because God says it's for you, if you don't do right, if you don't stay the course, you won't receive it. So I come to tell you this morning, you want your healing? You want your deliverance? You want this thing? You want that thing? stay on course. This divine principle was key to this Canaanite woman's child being delivered. It was an awesome deliverance. It was an amazing deliverance. Although the focus tends to be more on the woman because she did the work. She put the prayer time in. She put the fast time in. She put the pursuit time in. She did on behalf of another. And we see that God touched, healed, and delivered, amazingly, her daughter in the end. But she had to go through the process and remain on course in order to get for what her, to get for her daughter what her daughter needed. And in her daughter receiving what she needed, she too was blessed. This Canaanite woman stayed on course. And we all are challenged in our lives. You've got to understand that this was a Canaanite woman. She was viewed as an outsider, but she got sight of Jesus, the insider, who is able to do all things. He's able to do everything but fail. The Canaanites, if you recall, when the children of Israel came into the promised land, they were the ones, the Canaanites were the ones that was occupying the land, and they had to be dealt with. And so now this woman comes to Jesus, to the Christ, for deliverance of her daughter. This woman stayed on course in pursuit of what she needed. What is it that you need today? What infirmity are you seeking God to heal you from? What questions, what answers are you seeking from God? Stay on course. You're just about there. Stay on course. And hear this. She knew what she wanted. In fact, she didn't just need it. She didn't just want it. She needed it. She knew what she wanted, and she knew what she needed. I love it. Because she was in this for the long haul. I wish somebody would say and repeat after me, I'm in it to win it. Praise God. I'm in this for the long haul. No matter how long it takes, no matter what I've got to endure, I'm going to stay on course because I'm in it to win it. I'm in it for the long haul. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever met people who were willing to camp out until they got what they not only wanted, but what they needed? I think it's at least once a year that we see, I think it's Walmart, someone who has those, what do they call them? Black Fridays or whatever. And they will go early the next day and camp out because there's something that they want that bad. They're willing to wait. They're in it for the long haul. That is tenacity. That is patience. That is endurance. That is the ability to wait in order to get what's important to you. That's really what we've got to do to get some of the things that God has for us. She was determined and encouraged that her daughter would be delivered from that tormenting demon. And she knew that the only one that could do this was Jesus, a tormenting demon. Now, in reality, you know, it sounds a little nicer the way the text put it, but in reality, her daughter was possessed. Her daughter was not in control of her actions, being perhaps tossed to and fro and about and injuring her body and doing things that she was not in control of herself. That's no way to live. That's really how sin is. When sin has taken its full effect on you, it controls you. It drives you. You can say, no, I'm not going to do that. But when that feeling comes over you because you have in the past given over to it, it will engulf you. It will control you. It will move you. You don't want to be possessed. And just for the record, if you are a child of God, you cannot be possessed because you belong to God. The only way you can be possessed is if you surrender your rights with God and give yourself over to Satan. You don't ever want to do that. Ever want to do that. But God not only empowers you to resist the devil that he will flee from you, but he places guardian angels around you that they would fight off the wiles of the devil. I know I'm right. I know I'm talking right. She was determined and encouraged that her daughter would be delivered from this tormented demon. And so she went to Jesus, the only one that could make a true difference. Some of you listening today, like this Canaanite woman, can't afford to miss this opportunity because the need is real. And God is the only one that can deliver you. God is the only one. Ha, my God, my God. He's the only one that can bring you out. But let me give you a warning today. Fight discouragement. Do not allow yourself to become discouraged. This is going to minister to someone today. Discouragement is a sneaky spirit. Discouragement is a foul and evil spirit. Do not allow yourself to become discouraged. Don't back off. Don't back up. Don't deviate. Don't procrastinate. Don't become frustrated. Don't allow it to overtake you. Fight the good fight in faith. Fight the good fight of faith, and you will be a winner every time. Stay on course. I got to say this. I've got to tell you to talk to yourself at least one more time. Call your name out and say, stay on course. Joseph, stay on course. My God, my God. You've got to stay on course. Listen to me. We all encounter times when we feel like or think about giving up. And what's really happening is discouragement is loitering near you. Discouragement is loitering near you for an opportunity to take over you. But don't give the enemy called discouragement 1 inch. 1 inch of space, 1 inch of time. Don't give it up. Fight the good fight that you won't be discouraged. I'm going to deal with that a little because I understand that the enemy called discouragement knocks on the door of God's people trying to get in. It may be called by another name, but it's discouragement. You've got to fight that thing. Discouragement is a bold and cunning enemy. It will hide behind a picture of happier times because times are not as they were. Discouragement will hide behind the melody and lyrics of your old favorite song. You know, everybody, I'm going to date myself, but you know, when it comes on the radio or when you hear it playing or whatever, you say, that's my jam. That's my jam. I remember when that's my jam. But there was something even in that time that was disappointing or tended to discourage you, even though when you think about it, that's my jam. That's the song right now. Discouragement will hide behind the melody of songs. It will hide behind the lyrics of song and try and enter into your space. Don't give it space. Don't give it time. People of God, don't allow discouragement to enter into your thoughts. Trying to help somebody today. This Canaanite woman did not allow herself to be entertained by negative thoughts, even though she heard the negative thoughts in the air. The disciples said, Jesus, tell her to go away. She's bothering us. But she stayed the course. She didn't allow those thoughts to permeate her mind to determine her actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, is a powerful scripture, but many times we don't take it into action. I want you to hear what Paul says to the church there, to the church there, to the people of God there in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And here's the key: and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God speaks through his servant Paul to give to the people this word of wisdom, this divine principle. Don't allow negative thinking to go against the fabric of what God says is. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't even matter what it feels like. If that word is contrary to the will of God, you got to cast it off. Bringing it into the captivity, every thought to the obedience of God. In other words, what you think must comply with what God is saying. God said, today is my day. God said, I'm going to be healed, delivered, and set free. I don't care what you say. That's what God said. And so I'm bringing my thoughts, hallelujah, into the obedience of Christ. That's going to bless somebody today. Let me deal with the text here. The text suggests that this woman pursued or searched for Jesus. She went looking for him because she had a great need. Verse 22 says, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, which was Tyre and Sidon. We're going to deal with that in a little bit. And cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And then she explained to him his situation. You know, I love typology and symbolism. And in the text, I find it interesting, the coast that Jesus came out of, and then this woman found him. The name Tyre, that city, means rock, that solid place. And we know that Jesus is the rock of my salvation. The name Sidon, or the city Sidon, literally means hunting. Look at God. Look at the picturesque view of what God is really saying. There are times when you've got to be on the hunt for the rock. You've got to search out. You've got to seek. You've got to push until you prevail. You've got to find him in that quiet place, in that place of solitude. Get to him and tell him all your troubles. Tell him all your needs. My God, I could shout right now, but I'm going to strive to behave myself. This woman went searching for him. She was purposeful and deliberate in what she was doing. You don't find God on a mistake. When you know what you need, you've got to be purposeful. You've got to act like you know what you're doing. You've got to be deliberate, not chanting. No. I know Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Well, why are you going from here to there looking for healing and deliverance and comfort in other things and stuff? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Oh, give me a moment. I just need to praise him for just a couple of seconds. Lord, I bless your name. Lord, I honor you right now. Lord, I thank you because you are the answer. You are the way. You are my deliverer. Lord, I thank you because you healed me before and you can do it again. You delivered me before and you can do it again. And I bless your holy name. Praise God. This Canaanite woman was on a mission to see Jesus. She was on a mission to get deliverance for her daughter. This Canaanite woman, let me say it this way. Something happened to this woman. She went looking. She was out doing something about her situation. The Canaanite woman, first of all, let's establish that she was a visionary. A visionary is a person who can get a glimpse of the future and seek after that. They seek to model what they saw. That's really what a visionary is. You can look into your tomorrow, and if you don't like the way it's looking based on your present circumstance, then you can see something different as God has given you to see it. And then when you come back to reality or today, you strive to shape and mold the image of what you saw in your future. There's been so many times that I looked at myself and didn't like what I was seeing, and I looked in the future and I was able to see myself in a better state. I was able to see myself doing what was right and what was pleasing to God. And when I came back to this old rag called me, then I could begin to work on getting me to be what I saw in my future. Why do you think the popular saying, I see you in the future and you're looking much better than you're looking right now? But if you don't do anything now, you won't have what you see in the future. You won't have it in reality. Come to let somebody know, you got to receive this word today. It's not too late for you to be what you see. It is not too late for you to have what you see, but you got to be a visionary. Watch this. I'm going to encourage somebody today. If you can still see it in your future, you are actually in line to receive it. Mm-hmm. If you can see yourself doing better in the future, if you can see yourself healed, delivered, and made free, you're in line to receive it. Somebody ought to shout like this. Somebody ought to pray. I see myself in the future. And I'm looking much better than I'm looking right now. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord. But let me give you a word of warning. A visionary must be careful not to become frustrated or discouraged, because here's the reality. A visionary dreams of what shall be, but awakens to what is. Don't let what is discourage you, but strive, work to get the better. Strive, work to be molded, shaped, and formed in the image of what you see in your future. My God, I don't care how terrible things seem right now with COVID. It seems like everybody's, my goodness, going through it, and people are just out of control. No, it's just a lie. It doesn't really exist. And then we look over here and we see people dreadfully sick and so many dying and so forth. It seems like a crazy world, but you got to see yourself in the future. I don't know what your financial situation is. I don't know what your home situation is, but you got to see yourself in the future. Stay on course. I'm prophesying to somebody today. Yeah, I will admit it. I'm prophesying to you today. Stay on course. Stay on course. How many times have you just knew that God was going to do it for you right now, today? But he did not. The woman comes to Jesus, and it appears certainly at first he turns her down. Listen, God knows all things. I don't know all things. I don't know why he does sometimes the things that he do, but he knows. And I love God enough. I trust God enough to know that he knows what's best for me, and that he has a plan, and he's working his plan, that in the end I'm going to benefit. In the end, I'm going to be blessed. So I've learned to simply trust in the Lord and stay on course. God has an appointed time for all things. But I'm believing that today is your day. Praise God. Your day for deliverance. Your day for an amazing deliverance. Your day for healing. Your day for peace. Finally, peace. If God doesn't do it, he's able to give you peace right now. If God doesn't do it right now, he's able to give you peace in your mind right now. Yeah. God is able. He's going to do it at the appointed time. Hear what the prophet Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2 and 3. Watch this powerful word. He says, for the vision, come on, I'm talking to the visionaries today. What can you see in your future? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Whew, God's going to do it. It shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It's coming. It's on the way. Your healing is on the way. Your answer is on the way. Your joy is on the way. Your peace is on the way. See, God's time is not always our time. God is never out of sync with time. But sometimes we are out of sync with God's timing. And that's why we really got to trust him and know that he's got everything in his hand. He's watching. He's seeing. And everything that God does is deliberate. He never has, nor will he ever make a mistake. And I come to tell somebody today that God is punctual. God is a punctual God. He knows when it's time to release your blessing. There are times that if you're not careful, once again, I caution the people of God not to be discouraged. Can you imagine giving your 10-year-old child keys to your car? It doesn't matter whether it's brand new or an old hoopty, as they used to say. Here comes your 10-year-old. He's watched TV. He's watched Fast and Fury. In fact, he said, but mommy, daddy, I've mastered the game Need for Speed. I've mastered the game Gran Turismo. I've got badges. I've got trophies. I'm really good at this game. Life is no game, people. Won't you give me the keys to your car, 10-year-old? No, you won't do that, because it's not the appointed time. But when the appointed time comes, you shall receive. And watch this. The scripture gives us a powerful story, even of that situation. The prodigal son. This particular father, that son came to, Dad, give me all that is owed to me. Give me my inheritance now. Nagging. Give me, Lord, Father, give me. Dad, just give it. I can do it. I've watched how you do. I've seen this. I can do it. Just give my inheritance to me now. It's not the appointed time. And you know how that story went. He went out and he spent his money foolishly. He spent everything up. God wants us to understand today that there is an appointed time for what we are to receive. You want the blessing, but can you handle the blessing? Are you mature enough to handle the blessing? Are you spiritually responsible enough to handle the blessing? Jesus. And watch this. Again, I find myself going back into this situation where you cannot allow yourself to be discouraged or disappointed, because there's so many things in the world today that tend to seek to discourage us, even though we feel in our heart, we feel in the heart of our minds that God has this for us, but everything looks contrary to what I believe God is saying. And then there are voices that will speak out against you that will totally surprise you. What? I thought they cared for me. Did you see what happened in the text? The disciples come to Jesus, telling him, send her away. She bothers us. Yeah. Her child needs healing and deliverance. Everybody needs healing and deliverance. Lord, just send her away. We don't have time for this now. Just send her away. Got a question for you. See, this is why you must know what God says is yours and hold to it. Stay on course. Have you ever had any church people? It was the disciples that went to send her away. Have you ever had church folk that act as if they don't want to see you blessed? See, that's why you got to have that thing in your heart. You got to know that this is what God has for me. A real visionary has to have an inner push. I admire this woman because she pushed to get to Jesus. She pushed when she was in the presence of the Lord. She came to the presence of Jesus, but pushed her way into the inner chambers of his heart. You gotta push. Just because you see what was promised don't mean you have it. You got to keep pushing until you receive it. This is why Paul said, Paul knew what he was seeking after. Paul understood the fight that was before him. But in Philippians 3 and 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I know what the call is. I know what the mark is. I can see the mark. But right now, there's some things that are trying to interfere with me. But I've got to keep staying the course. I've got to stay on track. I've got to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. After it appeared as if Jesus had turned her request down, it appeared as if Jesus was saying no. Now, take note, Jesus never says, no, I'm not going to do this. Because if he did that, he would be a liar. And we know that Jesus is not and cannot lie. Jesus says in verse 24 of that 15th chapter of Matthew, he says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, he said, in this time frame, I have come to deal with the house of Israel. And here you are, you're a visionary, but you're an outsider, you're coming. He never says no, but he states to her his purpose for now. But she remains persistent to pursue Christ Jesus. She then, watch it, check the text out for yourself. She then, after Jesus makes this comment, she does something that turns things around. The Bible says she then began to worship him. And she didn't just worship him in her bodily activity, but even her word. She worships him in word and in action. She stays connected. She remains in the automobile called faith, which is driving her to receive her gift, her blessing, her petition. She remains faithful. She remains humble, even when it seems like God has turned her down. Then Jesus is all. You know, it's something when you awe Jesus. She begins to awe Jesus with her faith, with her courage, with her tenacity, with her push. If it was today, I'd say Jesus would say something like this. This woman ain't joking. She means this thing. She really wants this. What? She touched the heart of Jesus with her worship. She touched the heart of Jesus with her faith. It's like the other one said the other day, Jesus, I know you're able. Jesus, I know you can. And if you will, you can make me clean. You can make me, that's really what this woman is saying. Lord, I've come this far. I've pursued you. I've sought you out. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not going anywhere. She says, why? Jesus said, why should I take the children's bread to give unto you, to give to donkeys? Her comeback is awesome. Her comeback. Woo. She said, yes, Lord, I know. She said, I'm willing to be a dog in order to get what I need. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table of its master, Jesus. Goodness, this woman's got it. She understands. My goodness. Here it is. And so Jesus said something amazing. He says, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. In other words, the very reason that you come, you have pushed up on me. You have touched my heart. You have worshiped me. Even so, what you desire is granted unto you. And I'm closing. People of God, I come to tell you today, it doesn't matter how difficult it may seem to achieve that which you believe God has for you. Stay on course. because you're in line for an amazing deliverance. God wants to bless you, and he will do that if you stay on course. And now, Father, I thank you for I have delivered that which you have given to me today. Hallelujah for your people, Jesus. And I thank you, first of all, for using me to speak life, encouragement into the lives of the hearer today. Father, I pray that even now you would begin to manifest the desire of your people in their lives. Let healing spring forth. Let deliverance spring forth. Let peace, let calm, let that blessing come even now as they demonstrate faith in you and they worship you. And I bless your name for it so very much. In Jesus' name I pray. And it is so. Amen.
With the sword of the Spirit. Thank you for tuning in. Also, help us if you can to spread this word to the nations by giving. You can give the following ways. Cash App, $FCCCKojic. PayPal, faithcenterct@aol.com. Givelify, Faith Center Kojic. Or mail in at 22 Crown Street, Meriden, Connecticut, 06450. We'll see you on next week.